Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men Radio, the podcast from the Red Men TV. I am Paul Machin. Clockwise around the table from me is Ross Chandley, it's Ben Kelly, and it's Chris Pajak as well. Kickoff question comes from Christopher Scott. He's asked it of me, but we can spread it around the table. From one to being a United fan, how bad is Paul feeling from his Monday morning hangover? I think it's fair to say we were all utterly destroyed.
Yeah, I
didn't make it in. You all did. Kudos to all of you.
Yeah,
genuine kudos to all of you.
None of us were winners, though.
No one was.
No.
Pop World was the big winner.
Pop World was a big winner.
Yeah.
As was the beer colour.
Absolutely horrendous. So on a scale, if you had to rate your hangover, with ultimately 10 being the absolute worst it could possibly be?
United fan.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. I felt worse than a United fan on Monday.
What's that?
Bear in mind. horrendous, absolutely horrendous. I don't know why.
I've had worse. I have
not had worse in recent memory. It's been a very, very, very long time since I drank that much, and
it was a solid like 13 hours of drinking for me.
For you,
yeah. I regret that.
Didn't even do that much. We started. You had some before the game, didn't you? And I didn't.
It was like six.
You had six cans before the game.
Four cans and two pints.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't start to work. We had the pub. I had a couple in the pub after that, and then it was all bets off. Like, it was the fuck. I don't know why, but I started drinking rum and coke.
You don't drink rum and coke?
No. That's where you fall down when you start drinking.
Was I drinking rum and coke?
You were drinking rum and coke.
I bought you both one, and for some reason, both of you, when asked what do you want to drink, went rum and coke.
I didn't drink rum and coke all night.
You had rum and coke. I know what it was. In fact, I think I had some of yours and went, oh, that's all right. And someone was drinking. I was like, the most recent words that were in my head were rum and coke. So I went with that. Like,
you were also the leader of shots that night as well, by the way.
Oh yeah.
More Sambuca.
Yeah, just get Sambuca, everyone.
Yeah, I remember doing that in beer colour and getting us like 10 or 11 shots of Sambuca then.
Pot World.
Again in Pot World.
Yeah, my bad.
Pot World's expensive.
I've no idea. All I know, if anyone who works in Pop World is watching or listening, if anyone's handed to set a house key,
have they got the Tommy Rovers thing on?
Not anymore, no. If you can get in touch, let me know, that'd be great. Yeah.
Failing that, I'll give you his address. just drop him off, yeah.
Right, news. Yeah. If you can just,
at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Just come in and leave them on the sideboard. But leave them by my shoes. News in brief then, Liverpool or Dortmund are most likely to get Julian Brandt, according to Rafa Honigstein. Fine with this.
Yeah, I'm
fine with this. City could get kicked out of the Champions League. It would be amazing.
Is this a good thing?
In so much as I think, yes, it is. It is in a wider picture. Taking our Liverpool hats off, I think it's a brilliant thing because it shows the world that there needs to be ramifications for being cheats. In terms of, does it make Liverpool's attempts to win the Premier League next season, if they got kicked out next season, easier? Possibly not, but equally, does it potentially hamper their ability to buy players? If you're buying players that they were going to be going for, it might help in that regard.
I don't. Is the year's not enough for me, I don't think.
How that didn't knock that cup of tea over.
It very nearly did. Well, that's how I felt on Monday.
Man down. Man down. Here's the thing. Rob Gutman put a great tweet about it out. And, you know, Rob Gutman, obviously from the Anfield Rap and stuff. And he said, like, yes, you need to have the ramifications for financial fair play, but actually it helps City in so much as if people are actually going to start enforcing those rules, no one else can break into this top six. So in that regard, they're already through the door. They've cheated to get through. They now earn enough money so that they can carry on the way that they are. You know, we needed this a few years ago when they were ploughing millions and millions of pounds to get and breach that gap between us and Manchester United and them. So it's too late. They want the door shut, and all the big clubs want the door shut behind them, and that's kind of what Rob Gutman's tweet was about.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I'd not thought of it in that regard. But of course, all the big clubs want is just to guarantee that we're only going to be fighting between five or six of us every season.
But another reason why I say a year is not enough, because of all the money that they've spent, they might have done it. To say for a year, well, they've had a year ban. What's to say that was another huge step? And it's pretty much like you can investigate in 7 years' time when they've won
stuff. But why haven't the FA, the Premier League. Why aren't they?
Well,
why is it just UEFA?
It's not. The rules don't belong to anybody else. It's UEFA financial fair play, isn't it? So they're not breaking any.
Yes, no, no. But I mean, financial fair play does. The Premier League's got. I'm sure the Premier League's got its own version. The Championship's got its own version as well, hasn't it? Like, so it stands to reason it might be a domino effect where if they go, then it maybe forces the hands. I don't think it will, because I think the Premier League are too made up with the fucking money that.
What I also don't get is why UEFA are saying, well, all right, you know, we might ban you for a year. Well, what about the winnings that they've just got from last year?
Yeah.
You know, they cheated to get in there and probably earned 80 million quid from. Why is that 80 million quid fair game?
You imagine there'd be a fine that goes along with it. It'd be interesting to see. It's one to keep an eye on. The problem is we all sound really salty and bitter talking about it, because how can we not? This is the team that's just beaten us to the Premier League. All of that being said, it's fair to say we've been talking about this for years now, you know, and it's fucking blindingly obvious. It would be lovely if someone did step up and make it a thing. And I've seen really sensible people, Man City fans, like kind of go, yeah, well, I can't be asked to think about this at the moment. And to be fair, I'd probably be feeling the same if I found out it was Liverpool. I would be I'd be so angry with Liverpool if I found out that they got to this way by doing it. Now, it's tough because we also talk about Liverpool being shithouses on the pitch and how much we love bending the rules. If everyone's going to bend the rules, then we should do it as well. But to find out you've done it in an honest way and then been beaten by someone who's not is a bit of a kick in the teeth, isn't it? But fascinating to see what goes on. The only my hope in a worst case scenario for City is it's not a great time for them in terms of their squad. I mean, I know they've got a lot of really good young players and what have you, but they're going to have to replace Fernandinho. They've replaced Kompany, but they've played him at the back end of the season as well. David Silva and Aguero, this is the spine of their team, and it's all on the edge. It's all on the edge of starting to fall apart and a season missed particularly if financial fair play is going to be constantly backed. To lose £90 million, you know, of income, for not being in it for a year, which is what you get if you get to the semi-finals, roughly, that could put a little dent in them.
I think it relies heavily over whether Guardiola jumps ship or not, because I think he's desperate to win the Champions League.
Too, yeah.
So he's not won it this season. If this happens, he's not going to win it next season. And then you're looking at, so 2 years' time, he'll have his first shot again at winning the Champions League with City. If you've got an ageing squad there, then he might look at players around Europe. We discussed it on the Around the League today. You know, he might want to work with Cristiano Ronaldo at Juventus. He might want to work with Neymar at PSG. And suddenly then, players who are being attracted to the club may not be as interested because there's uncertainty over the manager. If over the summer, the manager sits down with players and goes, OK, we've got this ban, but I'm definitely going to stay, then I don't think it will hinder players wanting to come to Man City, because I think they'll take the year off to then be developed under Guardiola as a coach. But if he can't make promises that he's going to be around long term and there's going to be a bit of uncertainty at the club, he might go through a bit of transition. That's the point where I think that they may have a few problems attracting players.
The one thing is that Man City and Guardiola would have no problem lying to players. Because, I mean, let's be honest, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
The breaking rules. So Guardiola will sit there and go, yeah, I'm staying, are you come sign for me? Yes, I'm staying. Just leave me here.
And here's loads of money as well. They do strike me as the kind of ones who they take the ban, they take it, and then they carry on doing, they just get a bit cleverer, you know what I mean?
Stop emailing about it and smoke signals and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Just start doing it on all the dodgy dealings on like Snapchat again. Makes a big resurgence in Manchester.
You can just use WhatsApp now.
Yeah, sweet.
End-to-end encrypted, you know.
What's the what?
End-to-end encrypted.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me if they were the ones who cracked it. Right, what's the Reds News Roundup every single week throughout the summer. If you want transfer news, if you want to have a little bit more about this City stuff, as Ben mentioned there, the Around the League podcast is on the redmentv.com. Go over there and watch and or listen to that as well. We've got a sponsor this week. It is Threads for Reds. Chris Pajak, tell everyone. You're wearing a thread for a Red as we speak.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the shirts are incredible. I mean, I've been talking to Simon, who runs Threads for Reds. lads, and you know they've got an incredible Going to Madrid shirt. If you've not seen it with the bottle tops and stuff, it's flying at the moment. And if you live in the UK, if you live in a couple of zones in Europe, you can still get it in time for the final. And Simon's given us a discount code again, so we've been reactivated that one. It's Redmen 10 capital letters REDMEN10 to get 10% off and get some belter threads for the Champions League final.
Absolutely, get yourself involved, get yourself kitted out in time for Liverpool to hopefully go and deliver that wonderful big-eared bastard. Wolves. Ross, that was the...
That's the noise, isn't it? That's the noise that you make.
Yeah. That was the... That's one of the weirdest games of football I've ever watched. I've never celebrated a goal at Anfield that I haven't seen before.
Twice.
Apart from maybe those times where you've run the bog and it goes in and you go... Yeah, you know, but like went for it. Like,
but Paul, did you know we weren't celebrating a goal?
No, well, I celebrated a goal that never happened, followed by a goal that did happen.
Not only have you not celebrated a goal at Anfield, but you've not celebrated a non-goal at Anfield, which is incredible. Absolutely and then bad. Celebrated the goal.
The same thing happened in the pub. So obviously both matches on the screens, so it cut to the Liverpool fans celebrating. We were watching the game live and going, what the fuck are they celebrating? Nothing's happened. And then, like, Sky fell for it as well, didn't they? So they cut to it as well.
They just showed Brighton running a corner.
And just go, what the fuck's going on? And about a minute and a half later, they finally scored. Yeah. And it was just, like, just ecstasy. And then I was saying before, everyone just kind of sat around with, like, head and hands. We were like, oh, well...
For 83 seconds.
I was like, oh, what the fuck is going on here? Yeah. Like, shaking. And like, bodies everywhere in the pub. It was brilliant.
It was tantalising, Ben. It was just... I remember, because I've seen the Liverpool-Blackburn game so many times. I've seen the highlights from it back in, like, it was like 94, was it, they won it, or 95. Their fans going from we scored and their fans are all down the dumps to like this murmur and wave goes around the crowd when you realise Man United, West Ham is going in their favour, and then everyone's just rah, and I was like, holy shit, I'm watching that. Mm. I am watching that moment, and I have, in all my years of going to Anfield, I've never seen that. And that made it doubly hard. I was so prepared. The Champions League insulated me. I felt fine. I was relaxed. I was confident going into that game. But just to have it like wafted under my nose, absolutely fucking ruined me.
No, yeah. We arrived at Beer Keller afterwards and I said to Steve, are you okay? And he just went, no. He said, the worst thing about today was Brighton scoring. Yeah. And I agree and I don't agree, because even though, yeah, it did make the day a lot more difficult to take afterwards, it was still just, it was a feeling that I've never, ever had before when that goal goes in. Or when you started celebrating the goal that didn't happen until it actually did. So, I mean, I can still picture watching the telly now in sound and the crowd starting to make noise and just that initial butterflies of, oh my God, has something happened? I don't think I'd change that, because it was just an amazing feeling. Yeah. As a snapshot in time, that was a fantastic couple of minutes, and it sounds dead. Sounds dead sad when you say it, you know, because rival fans will come back and go, oh, they thought they were winning the league for 2 minutes. And yeah, I did. And I enjoyed that 2 minutes. And that's just the way I want to keep
more
it.
More than you've got, to be fair, unless you're a City fan. Like, yeah. It was mad, because for me, like, you know, people were celebrating and I wasn't celebrating a goal. I was celebrating that other people were celebrating. Yeah. Because we didn't actually know there was a goal. We were just saw people celebrating. So I was like, ah! I was like...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
yeah. Just going, oh, man. And I was like, and then it was like, it's nil-nil. And then it was like, oh, shit. Okay, so what am I celebrating? Because I felt real joy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? No genuine fucking pleasure there. Like, yeah, yeah. And then when the goal goes in and you're doing it again and you know it's a goal, I'm basically celebrating an app on my phone that's telling me something. I'm like, yeah, you're the best app in the world.
It was funny because the lack of communication around the whole thing was horrendous. Like, trying to get updates. It wasn't happening. And so when the goal did go in, we, our side of the cop, all thought that it was 2-0. And then there's people down in the main stand doing two, and we're going like, is it two? Is it two? Is it two? And then there's a fella behind me, just rings his missus.
What all?
He just rings his missus, and as he's trying to get through, someone turns around to me and goes, is it... what did Shannon say? They're saying it's 2-0. And he's going, it's 2-0. And this guy starts saying, no, that's not what I said. I'm saying that's what they're doing. And I went, stop putting fingers in the air. Everyone, stop holding their hands up because no one knows what we're doing. Just keep our heads. And then Philip behind already went, what is it? It's 1-0. And then at that point, I just got Sky Sports up and saw that sort of literally the second that they scored the equaliser. And you think, oh, God. And then For me, it ruined the whole experience. But I feel better now. I feel more relaxed now. I've had a couple of days, and we got slaughtered that night as well. Helped big time. But it burnt my head out because it's totally enough.
It was the weirdest thing because when we went into that game, the atmosphere from 10 minutes to kick off until 20 minutes in the game was as good as anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm comparing it to Barcelona. Even it was that good. It was that loud. And the life just got sucked out of it when City scored. And I think that translated onto the pitch.
And that they went 2-1 so quickly as well.
But then when it went 3-1, the atmosphere came back because there was a defiance to it. And everyone went, oh. And then everyone just put the phones away and forgot about it and enjoyed what we were there to enjoy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you do that because, listen, I get my phone out and I record every single game we're recording, aren't we? And never has my phone been more of an annoyance or a distraction during the game. For someone who records pretty much throughout the entire game, that was the first time it's actually annoyed me. I've never felt like that before because people were just looking at the phones. They weren't watching the game. They weren't supporting the team.
Yeah.
And then I was just, afterwards, it was like, you know what? Let's just celebrate the fact that we've got a fantastic football side. And that's when the atmosphere came back.
It was every vibration in my phone, every pseudo vibration that we all now all get because we all get the phantom texts and what have you. When you feel something and it's not there, every one of them was like, oh, and you're right, it was, it all contributed to just the weirdest atmosphere. And you're right, everyone's heads went in a good way, then in a bad way, and it meant the game. I couldn't tell you what happened in that footy match. You know, I've watched it back since, and I think what helped me ultimately, I was ruined. People coming up to me post-match and being like, oh, well, you know, great season. And I was like, yeah. And I was trying to be nice to people because I'm not, you know, no net sense of me being a dickhead to people who are happy because I've been preaching that all season. Don't be mean to people who are who are happy. But I didn't have it. I wasn't feeling it. And it took me until we were all in beer kelling and a match of the day was on. And I got to see it in that, the heartbreaking cut back and forth between things. And I got to put that game into context. And I was like, that's fine. City are just fucking, were just brilliant. It was, you know, the fact that it almost got done and taken away, and you can see them just going and steamrolling them, and knowing that we were in there, we were in that last game. I don't know about you, Ross, but it made me, I could compartmentalise it a bit better then. I could go, okay, well, that was what it was. I saw the whole picture.
I'd have that settle with that in the build-up, to be honest. I just wanted to know what was going on, like the outcome, like all the build-ups. I think Barcelona helped. A distraction for 3 days, 4 days, and as soon as you turn your mind to that game, it's going, I just want to know what's going on. I don't mind, like you said, I can appreciate this team beforehand, what's going on, and it was in City's hands, so it was never that. But I think that's what happened when Brighton scored, because you toy with yourself, don't you, going, well, City are a good side, it's in their hands, you know, they're going to win it. When you get that false hope, it's like you come to get cut to 5 minutes going, well, Barcelona happened, so therefore we could win the league, so it might happen. And you get the false hope. It's the toying with emotions, isn't it? Of what's going on? And I just wanted to know what was going on, and I was fine with anything.
Yeah, it was microphone.
Oh, no. It's you then, me next.
Yours
over then, me.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think it's this is not a visual. This is a very visual gag.
There you go.
I mean, that's going to last 5 minutes.
It's not. It's laying on the table.
Absolutely is. Damn.
Yeah. No, who's a real winner?
It was a real kick in the teeth, and it was one of those things where we're entitled to feel down. You know, I get it, and fair play to anyone who walked out of that stadium absolutely bouncing, and fair play, and we should be, because there's a little matter of a Champions League final still to be played, and that we've earned that right to that not be devastating, and that's what I've tried to compartmentalise it as. If we hadn't had the Barcelona, if we didn't have a Champions League final, I would be devastated. Yeah. Utterly devastated, particularly having had that sense of things, but we do at least have that, whether you felt it immediately or whether it's taken you a day or whether you're not quite there yet. We all know that in 3 weeks' time, when we're sat down ready for that game, we won't be thinking about the Premier League.
Yeah, and it was a nice surprise in a way, because I woke up on Tuesday morning, done with football. Mm-hmm. Vincent Kompany puts that in the top corner on Monday night. You know you're 3-0 down to Barcelona going to win second leg. Yeah. And I woke up on the chair and I was like, oh man, what? I was ready to take a break from Twitter, from, you know, everything. Yeah. Just, you know, go and do something else in the summer, you know, learn a new skill. Yeah. You know, just anything to take my mind off it while, you know, I was ready to go on holiday, I was ready to do all this. And then obviously it all changes so fast on the Tuesday night, you know, and we had that experience at Anfield on Tuesday where, you know, it was possibly a once in a lifetime. I mean, it's not with Liverpool, I suppose, sure, but yeah. it feels like a once in a lifetime thing to overcome that, and suddenly everything's changed. And you go into, and as you alluded to before, you go into Sunday as a result feeling much better about the situation, but immediately on Sunday night it wasn't a consolation. Yeah. It was just a small thing in the distance. It's the ray of light at the end of the tunnel at the moment.
It's too far away. It's still too far
away. I wish it was
away.
A week sooner, yeah, because
I'd be going.
I mean, it might be good for the players to get a break and all that, but fuck, I just want something else to think about. Yeah. And it's so far away that at the moment I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks of my life with it on my mind 24/7, and I'm ready for that to stop.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to talk a little bit about looking ahead to the Champions League in a second, but no, I totally agree with that. I think it's weird is that part of me was like, if it was this weekend coming, like, you know, like, yeah, we had a week break and then into the Champions League final, I'd probably be like, whereas it's that little gap, and I think it will suit us to some extent, your circumstances notwithstanding, Chris, but I think there's something to, I think, just being able to like decompress, because that season was fucking hard. That's the most, for a season where we've basically only lost one game of football, I've never been more stressed out watching
it. We've been doing this for 10 years, yeah, and you know, we've been much darker times, but I've not been this drained at the end of a season. It's just,
I think 13-14 was, it's a while back now, like I was in pieces by the end of that season, but you're right, I mean, we're splitting hairs over the difference.
I mean, you're talking, we weren't in a title race for 9 months, mm-hmm, in 13-14, yeah, that's the difference. Yeah. We absolutely were from the word go this season, and you know, you hear people say, oh, they're only footballers and all that, man, I'm just talking about it, I'm knackered.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely knackered, yeah, talking about it all the time, but I wouldn't swap it for the world, you know. Mm. What an incredible season that these lads have put together, and our manager, and you know, I put on Twitter the other day, I was like, Shankly's Holy Trinity is back.
Yeah.
And it truly is.
Yeah.
You know, we're witnessing something special being built here again, something that happened in the 60s, yeah, that now is getting done again, and we're at the start of something special. And you know what, we haven't got a league title to show for it, but over the next few years we might have a couple.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. We're going to look ahead to the Champions League final in a moment. Before we do, Chris and I have got a brand new podcast and a brand new YouTube channel. It is the Machen Pajak podcast. We did a little clip this week. We were talking about the origins of Redmen TV, so if you're interested in all that, here's a clip. Again, making an entertainment show was what it was, and it's moved more and more away from that as it's become a bit more grown up, a bit more mature, a bit more polished as the years have gone on. But yeah, it's night and day. God, those early ones are genuinely
they were scripted, weren't they?
I like some of the scripting on it, because it tells you what we were trying to do. It was like, when you're trying to do comedy, you've got to script. So a lot of it was like reacting to the World Cup stuff and that, and you know. So again, the problem with comedy is it's very subjective and it's very hit and miss. It was definitely more miss than hit.
I think one of the other issues is when you've got scripting, you need people who can act.
Yeah.
And I certainly can't fucking act.
Oh, we had some good fun. We found our groove that we realised eventually the easiest thing to do is just press record on the camera and just.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Talk about footy.
Get over and subscribe.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. do it, yeah. We'll put the link in the description. We will, if you're watching this on YouTube, we'll annotate to it at the end as well, so you can click straight through and watch it, or just say search Majax Pajak. It's on Spotify, it's on iTunes if you like listening to all that stuff as well. So yeah, do get involved. The Ross, 3 weeks more or less, to the Champions League final. What are your feelings on this? I mean, are you happy for the break?
Yes, for everything we just discussed, the mental break. Like, you know, said the season's been long and hard. The past week alone has been horrific.
Yeah,
I think you look at Newcastle 2-2, and like you stressed out, thinking, you know, this is the end of our season potentially, because you know we were 3-0 down right to Barcelona. Divock pops up, and then Barcelona happens, and Man City happened the night before. It's just like, I just want a mental break for myself.
Yeah.
Just come, just give me a rest. Let me gear up for this as a separate issue, and the players as well.
Yeah.
I think they'll need it. I think it'll make for a better venue. I do. Sorry to bring this up again, because I don't know why it's so far away. Like 2 weeks would have been fine for me.
Yeah.
Really, all right for you, but I was like, it just seems like so far away.
Is it because the other leagues finish later?
What's it matter? There's only four English sides in the competitions.
Yeah.
It's pretty bored.
Yeah, it's true.
Fucking Arsenal and Chelsea, their stadiums are 8 miles apart and they're going to friggin' Baku.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You've got to get there via Syria or Baghdad.
Yes.
Yes.
Amazing. What I love about it is that, because I did the radio on Sunday before the game, and it was like Arsenal fans and Spurs fans going, oh, it's a disgrace, this, isn't it? I was like, it's been a disgrace for a while. I know, I understand that you don't realise it.
Where have you been?
We ended up paying £1,000 for a fucking chartered flight to Kiev last year. Like, I mean, ridiculous. The amount of troubles that people had to go through just because, whatever, presumably because the UEFA officials wants to partner with whichever of the Klitschkos is in charge in that city. The old one is it? Whatever. Yeah, it's an absolute piss take. But I agree on the break thing. It feels like Ben, that as we've all kind of said in our own way so far, that last week, the Barcelona thing, I was on cloud nine the next day. The day after, I was back on the floor again, because I again, just it's emotionally exhausting, that up and down constantly, and I felt like I could like run through brick walls when I woke up and got into work on the Wednesday. But by the time Thursday come around, that all the adrenaline had worn off, and it was very much like, oh shit, yeah, this is it, because it's like for us, this is our, you know, when you're in school and you get to July, and you get to the end of July, and then you have your holidays, this is it, our year finishes here, and you can imagine it's doubly so for the players, who actually had to run as well as have to do all this thinking that we've done, and probably more.
All this big thinking.
But I am, 3 weeks is probably too much, but
I think it works in our favour. I really do, yeah. And I think, you know, people will point to the fact that, you know, Liverpool, when they've gone away for like training camps and stuff, they've not been necessarily great. But it's different. You're not getting the fitness up for 8 weeks, 12 weeks, or whatever it is. What this does is this gives players a lot of time to focus on what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as an experienced side now, who've been to a third, are going to a third European final in 4 years, we've got players who are used to this. Yeah. And, you know, when you're left with your own thoughts and you've got something major on the horizon, you can just go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably more likely to happen with Tottenham Hotspur's players than ours, because these guys haven't been through this situation. They'll be nervously expecting this final for the next 3 weeks, just like we will.
Yeah.
But I just think we'll be able to deal with it a lot better.
They're a bit like us last year, aren't they, exactly. In that regard? Like, they're desperately
happy to be there.
Yeah, and they're desperately trying to get their players fit as well. You know, so that we are, I know we have a bit of that, Ben, you know, but what it feels to me like our lads are just going to go away and lie on the beach for a bit,
yeah,
and recover, go and spend some family time, recharge the batteries and the soul, to get a bit poetic. And not that Spurs can't do that also, but like Harry Kane is going to be a bit like, you know, again, like our midfield and all that, where he's just like, he's desperate. He's not going to be able to truly relax, because there's going to be a race against time for him to be fit and available, whereas you'd hope for us, that spell of time, like Roberto Firmino is the big doubt at the moment, isn't he? You'd imagine that will be more than enough for him to get himself back there. Oxlade-Chamberlain's going to be 3 weeks fitter. Mm. You know, our only player like that is, I mean, at the moment, touch wood, is like Naby Keita, who's almost certainly out.
Yeah.
But he's like the one where he might be okay if it's a race against time. So I agree with Chris. I think that the 3 week gap probably does suit our preparations, probably slightly better than Spain.
Yeah, I think especially just given the weekend that we've had, I think obviously we're all talking about wanting to switch off. I think the players, I think they're being given a week where they can go abroad, not on long four flights. So, you know, they can jet off to wherever and just even if they just have
just
a
jump on an easy jet to Palmer. That's what I'm doing.
You know, Bobby Firmino's cheating that. He's getting no long haul, but he's going to go like four or five short haul flights and get his way around
the thing is, you would go long haul, you just go, that's what they'll do. They'll go on some mad, they'll go to Dubai or they'll go on like a mad 12-hour flight where you can sleep on the plane and you can get absolutely pampered every single step of the way. Go to something, you'll see Mo Salah, guarantee his Instagram will have him on some idyllic beach somewhere, you know, looking off onto the horizon of nothingness.
Hopefully I'll use an apostrophe this time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what they've got available to them. And the 3 week gap means they can go and do that and then still come back with plenty of time to get themselves ready.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, throughout all that time, even though they've switched off, they'll still be really, really hungry for it, because obviously of last season and Sunday. It's really funny, this final, because both teams are basically going to go in thinking that the name's on the trophy. Obviously, the way both things happened last week and the way Spurs got through the quarterfinal as well. But I think Liverpool players will almost be looking at it, right, we've just got to get this job done, because it's about time we fucking did. Even though, you know, there have been circumstances over the last year and the year last year where we couldn't get it done for whatever reason, because injuries and cup finals and how good Man City have been. Liverpool will now be looking at this opportunity to go, well, there's almost no excuses now. We've got to go and win this trophy, because we are absolutely good enough. We can have some time to switch off, but they will never have been hungrier, especially given Sunday, to go and deliver for us.
I completely agree with that, Chris. You know, we were talking about this briefly when we were in the pub after the game.
If you say so.
The pub, not before it all went downhill. That notion of there's a couple of people going home.
Shout out to the guy who gave us some red shots in the five ways as well.
Yeah, as well. Like, they were
Hannibal Tangfastics.
Basically tasted like the cherries from Tangfastics, yeah. Oh my God, it's repeating on me just thinking about it. But a few people, look, the closer we get to it, there's no escaping the fact that I think Spurs are the heart of the two teams. They're in the final. They managed to get past Ajax. I did feel like I was watching Ajax clinging on. I think, I'd be bang up for a bit of that. Spurs have got the now, still knows inside now. They've got a great manager. They've got some world-class players, and world-class players who know how to cause us problems as well. But there is that degree to which I think Ben's right. I think us having the disappointment, they've not had a disappointment. They're on a high. You know, as you say, they're just looking forward to it being the Champions League final. What a great experience. Our team will be fucking murderous. They will be desperate, clawing at every inch of their body to try and put right the fact that they've just worked that out and not won the league. To follow on from the Barcelona thing, and more importantly and contextually, is they got to the Champions League final last season and had to go through that heartbreak. Having that pain for a lesser side, I think, would be a burden. But I actually think for this side, I think it's
100%. Look at it this way, Paul. we have been playing knockout football for the last 10 games in the Premier League.
Yeah.
We just, you know, it's been knockout football. Yeah. And we've had Champions League quarters and semi-finals to go along with that.
Yeah.
And we've managed to come through almost unscathed. You know, we obviously got beaten by Barcelona, but we turned it around. We won our last 9 Premier League games on the bounce just to stay within touching distance. The murderous was one of the quality that you said there, fighting tooth and nail for things. This is what we've been doing all season long.
Absolutely.
This isn't something new for us. Mm-hmm. This is what we've been doing. Yeah. We're well versed in how to go into these games and fight for every last blade of grass.
Yeah.
This is made for Liverpool this season.
It's all those things, isn't it? It's all like the pre-preparation, all the press stuff. They've done this already. All of this.
Can we just have it over two legs, please? The final. Come on, man.
I'm sure I have lost two games, like dear God. But
might be able to make one of them.
Yeah, mate.
Second leg in France.
in Paris, please.
In
the Euro camp.
The preparations for this, you know, again, this is a path well trodden, Ross, isn't it? And I think that thing, now that we're this distance from it, I said, I'm sure I'm getting more nervous as it approaches. But I think we should feel confident at the moment. If you're not confident now, why wouldn't you be? I think what we've seen.
Are we doing a favourites against either of them?
Yeah.
We're the favourites for a reason. Yeah. We're better than them. We lost one game all season in the Premier League. They lost 13.
Yeah.
There's a big difference in quality between the two sides. There just is.
That's where I think my confidence comes from. We are so difficult to beat now. You know, whereas last season, obviously, we went on a run out post-Christmas where we didn't lose many games, but obviously we'd shown that we can be fragile in certain situations. We just don't... I mean, obviously, Wuk played a big part in Barcelona for me. We just don't look like losing football games. And that can all change in a cup final because it's so unpredictable. You know, I think it was Rafa Benitez always used to say, I can get you as far as a cup final, but managers shouldn't be judged on cup finals because they're so unpredictable. But as long as this team keeps the belief that they've had all season of, you know, as you say, like knockout football, it's just the confidence comes as a saying, just we just don't look like losing. We're just such a difficult side to win, to score more than one against.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Something too, isn't it? Having come through this absolute fucking season-long crucible that we've been right in the heart of, to be able to go, lads, brilliant. Go away, have a holiday, and then all you've got to do is play one more, do that one more time, go into one more big game, go and be those monsters one more time, and then you'll have a European Cup and a summer to reflect. Yeah, can we all do this? I feel like I can do it just saying the words out loud. You know, that's all Jürgen's got to do. Really.
I think
and hours and hours and hours of preparation. But yeah,
there's that, and I think the players have to motivate themselves. And I think they will do, for what Ben said before. They've been there last year. They've been through the hurt. They've been through all that stuff. But I think it's last year was going into the unknown. Compared to like going to your driving test and you being nervous, you don't know what to expect, and ultimately you fall apart. Or like last year was carries throwing it in the net and stuff. But you know, Real Madrid were a really good side, and we overachieved getting there. I think everyone can agree on just saying, Madrid will win it for, the fifth time in God knows how many seasons. It's just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think the gap now, we're on the flip side, the most of the players have been through that. That's not a question now, what's coming up, or what's the media duties, or, you know, the atmosphere and stuff. They'll expect stuff now, and I think the sending off and having the last game at Anfield is huge by saying, yeah, see, it wasn't congratulations for the season, it was that, plus... Good luck in Madrid.
And also, the thing about it being Spurs to some extent, because obviously Real Madrid, we went in, it was Real Madrid, and it was probably a little bit of like, flicking hell, it's Real Madrid, bloody hell, it's Ronaldo.
In a European Cup final.
Exactly. And then now
it's Tottenham. Bad enough to go in the Bernabeu.
What?
It was bad enough just going to Bernabeu and Barcelona, but European Cup final takes to a new level.
There's a degree to which you could argue, do they underestimate it because Spurs? I think because it's Spurs, I think there's no chance we underestimate it. Again, they're a known quantity.
Klopp rates them as well.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's not, you know from what Klopp said about Pochettino and Spurs over the last 2 years that he massively rates Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
So there's no way in hell, not that there would be anyway, that he'd be underestimating them. Mm-hmm. But the players can't because we got you know, absolutely hounded out last season by them.
Yeah.
You know, we've been good against them this year and stuff. We had a little bit of luck, don't get me wrong, to get over the line against them. But
over the line.
Yeah, but you know what? They're a good side and they can cause us troubles, and every player in the squad knows that. Yeah.
And Lucas Moura's coming to form at a good time as well. Like, he's obviously got hat-trick. Yeah, for them to get the hat-trick in there and stuff. So there's questions on who starts that, because you said Harry Kane's in a rush to get fit. But you're dropping Lucas Moura, who's just got you to a Champions League final. I know Harry Kane's your captain and stuff. But...
And they've got the Pochettino, if I win, I'll leave thing. I don't know how that
reverse psychology.
it's all a bit weird, isn't it? I don't know. I get the sense from them, and it's only so far out, a little change, because, again, you just get yourself up for one game. I always remember when we went to the FA Cup, when we got beaten by Villa in the FA Cup semi-final, and it felt like we didn't take that game seriously. The fans, there was no atmosphere. It was a bit like, well, this is just a stop on the way to the final.
People went because you needed to go to that game to get a ticket to the final.
Yeah. No one gave a fuck about that game.
They didn't care about the semi.
It didn't have a positive impact. Whereas it's a European Cup final. I can't see it being anything less than that. And I do feel like the sense from their fans is very much like, they're scared of us. They've seen us. They all watched the Champions League final last season. They've watched us this season. They see how good we are and how desperate we are and the hunger. And they've seen that as much as it, like, the luck thing that they got in Ajax is like, that's astounding to them, because it never happens to Spurs. It's meant to happen the other way around. Whereas
we got through the group of death as well.
Well, yeah, exactly.
There's
a feeling of inevitability when Liverpool get into those situations that I think they're aware of, and they're also aware of all the fucking weight of the times that it has gone wrong for them. So I do feel like it goes in there, and the mentality plays into our hands a touch.
I think they'll go into this game like we went into the game last year, thinking they can win, but perhaps not expecting to win. Mm-hmm. Whereas I was saying on the podcast before, it feels funny for me going into a European Cup final as favourites and perhaps Baldwin on the side of, I am quietly confident, I think I do. I think if I had a tenner now to put on either side to lift the cup, I think it would be us. And I don't think I've ever been like that before in any of the teams.
I agree. I think it'll change massively because it's not a real thing yet. It's just a figment in the future. It's nothing, is it? I am supremely confident. I see no reason not to be supremely confident. And as I say, because of the end of the season, just I think it all feeds into it weirdly. Just to clear though, that has no impact on whether the game is Liverpool winning or not in any way, shape or form. It's just how I feel about it.
I'd say 8 or 9 times out of 10 we win the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sean McKenna, I put this question in to highlight a point actually. It's one player realistically to take us to the next level. Chris, is there a next level?
Yeah, there is. Of course there is. This team, without another player, will go to the next level.
But what I mean is, by this notion that, because I've seen a lot of issues when they're saying 6 signings, blah, 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 there's not much better.
He's a gay, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, no. But the point I'm kind of making is, there's not much better to be, you know what I mean? Really, you know, the idea to get another player or whatever gets you that extra 2 points to win the league.
There is, because, you know, and as fantastic as he's been towards the end of the season, there's an upgrade on Origi. You know, there just is. I've got Jadon Sancho as my guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think someone that can play those three positions up top that is of the same standard or will soon be of the same standard as the other three improves us and does take us, you know, on that step further and stuff. And you know, but Trent Alexander-Arnold's 20, he'll improve. The back fives play together for one season, they'll improve. The midfield's going to improve because Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's coming back into it.
Fabinho's settled.
Will improve naturally, but I do feel like one or two signings could make the difference, maybe how many trophies you put on the sideboard next season.
It's the quality of the bench that you're talking about, isn't it? And not relying on other people. And I think through that, there's times where I think we could have rested the likes of Salah, Bobby or Mane without putting them through and putting pressure on them. Putting them through the pain barrier, which they are happy to do. But I think you can compensate that by, you know, I put Werner or Zaha in there. You know, you could even put Sancho. I thought he might be not a bit too far. Like, but, you know, bringing some of that quality on, even if it's 20 minutes to go or it's like a game where you feel you can rest them and they're of that high quality, there's not much difference between the front three and someone else coming on.
Yeah.
It works out for everyone in that favour, I think. And, you know, we've been dead lucky with injuries towards the end of the season. Bobby's been out and Origi's been good, like you said. But imagine, like, having Salah run at you for 70 minutes and bringing, like, a Zaha or something.
Yeah,
it's another level. City bringing on Leroy Sané.
Yeah.
That's the point. Yeah. That's the point. It's that everybody's been saying all season long, you know, they get to bring Sané off the bench and Bernardo Silva plays into great form and Mahrez has done bits at the start of the season and all. That's the difference between the two squads.
Yeah.
That's the only real difference.
De Bruyne was out for about 12 weeks, and what have you noticed? Would you?
How can you, you know, the best player in the entire league probably last season, and they really didn't even miss him because of that depth and quality that they've got.
There's probably, I think you're right in saying that, there's probably not too much. And look, they've been, at lengths to stress, it's not going to be massive transfers. I think you're right. I think we'll naturally, we probably need at least one definitely two certainly, because you're going to lose a few players, aren't you, Ben? You're going to, like, Daniel Sturridge is going to go, Moreno's going to go. It depends whether we feel we've got something within the squad. Where we're going to improve, Chris mentioned Oxlade-Chamberlain, but, like, Brewster's coming in as well. They've got high hopes for him, you know, so we're all talking about this, like, young up-and-coming player to come in.
We might have one.
He might already be at the club. And that the tough thing is that we could buy a better player. We could go and buy Jadon Sancho and finish the season on 86 points and win the league. you know what I mean? That's the real difficult thing that we've got, is that Liverpool are at the absolute top of their game, aren't they? You know, you can't go much better than being in the Champions League final
and finishing the league on 97 points.
Yeah.
I suppose we don't know yet. The answer to this question depends on whether or not this season is an anomaly for us, and we don't know the answer to that question until the end of next season.
Yeah.
So you can't. You need to know the outcome of next season to judge who to buy that, because you don't know. We could well go back to, like, you know, around the 80-point mark next season, or we could go and get 100. You just don't know with this exact same squad. I don't know. I mean, it's something to talk about over the summer. I don't know if I'm completely convinced we can do the same level of consistency again, but I don't know if that's just being
the best
being
way.
A pessimist.
The best way to insulate yourself for that, though, is to do what is like Chris is saying, is that it's just having slightly better.
Yeah, and that's what I've done. So obviously, one player realistically takes. I think the next level is making sure you've got even better options and even better squad depth. So I picked three because I've ignored the question. So I like David Neres at Ajax because I think we definitely need to be looking at that Ajax team and thinking who can we have.
De Ligt was a shout, pretty much.
But I think we've got Joe Gomez, who I think can, if he can stay fit, can arguably be just as good. Yeah. So I didn't go for him. Neres can play either wing, and I think he'd be good cover. Brandt, as we mentioned before, he had a good World Cup in a World Cup where Germany didn't perform, but he was one of the shining lights. And then I've also gone with, as another option in midfield, Youri Tielemans at Leicester. I think he's been absolutely fantastic since he arrived. He won't be starting every week, but if you've got another technical player like him to bring on, I really do think he's been, and he would be available because he's only on loan at Leicester. But I think if I could go and pick a player outside of the top six at the moment to go and sign, he's been amazing since he arrived.
I really don't know. The names wise, I think the Timo Werner shouts good, all fantastic shouts. I think, that and maybe a left back or someone who can play both. So if you could get a centre half who's similar to Gomez but can play centre half and left back, then you've absolutely nailed it there. But I'd say I just think we're fine. You know, we'll do some squad depth analysis in a couple of weeks' time just to really kind of spell it out and where we're at. But you look at Moreno, only played 2 games in the league for us this season, you know, so we didn't really need him in that regard. It depends what Milner wants to do. And then I think Origi's perfectly capable of being a good
What Liverpool need, though, and I've been saying this for a few weeks now, is they need a couple of cup runs domestically to show people around Europe that, you know, even if you're not a first teamer, you're going to get games.
Yeah.
The problem Liverpool have had is we've put such poor sides out, unfortunately, that, and I say poor, not that the poor players, but the cohesion is poor. And as a result, we lose those games. You know, throwing an injury to Dejan Lovren as well, which didn't help against Wolves and stuff. But if you can get to a point where, like City, you're going far in the League Cup, you're going far in the FA Cup, you're going far in the Champions League, and you're challenging for the title, then there's 65 games to share around.
Yeah.
Liverpool don't have that at the moment. We're 15 games shy of that. Yeah. And that's something that we need to address very quickly for me. Because if you want a big squad, you've got to stay in the competitions for longer.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think if that's the case, then go and buy a better second goalkeeper, and then we're forgetting about Kurt Jones needs to play some footy next season if he's good enough. Keanu Hoover's still young, but he might, you know, there's a world where Lovren just goes and he becomes the fourth choice centre half, and Gomez and Matip battle it out. As I said, Oxlade-Chamberlain's coming back. You've got Brian Brewster. We might not need anyone at all. We might be fine. It's going to be fascinating to see regardless. I think for everyone, though, I think it'd be a good message to send. And I wondered whether us selling Solanke in January just gives us that little bit of money to just go early in the window like we did last year. And it wouldn't shock me if someone brilliant just dropped in very early in the transfer window and that was us done. Like, so let's say it's Julian Brandt. There you go. Julian Brandt's done, and that's us done for the summer. Everyone go on holiday, everyone get into training camp, and everyone get ready for the new season. Be fucking made up with that. Just last one then. Tom Carroll Tom_Carroll88 asks you, Ross, starting next season, do you think there's any risk our lads will suffer mentally from this year's disappointment after losing one game all year? They must be thinking, fuck me, what have we got to do? Or does it just drive us even more?
I think both, but I think suffering mentally is only a natural progression because it's a natural reaction, isn't it, of being disappointed. You can't not be, can you, of putting all that work ethic in. You know, we said how hard it's been for us. For them, they must be absolutely goose and just thinking, how do you compete with Manchester City? How do you do that? I think as much as the saving grace the Champions League was for us, it will have been for them as well, thinking actually at least they've got something to look forward to and have a little reward for them, you know, if they win it. But then again, they've got this far in the Champions League. You know, how long was it since? It was 2005, and we probably thought it's never going to happen again. Mm-hmm. Yet they've done it twice in two seasons,
yeah,
or three finals in four seasons.
We've had so much disappointment on the way, Chris, that, and we've bounced back brilliantly every single time, that we're now, all the evidence is just suggest we'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, look, the thing that skews all this is we put our thoughts and opinions too into it. Yeah. You know, all this like, oh, but, you know, we didn't win the Premier League and we got to the final and there's a hoodoo on us. It's all bullshit. They don't think like that.
No.
They think there's fucking 32 sides in the Champions League and we've bested 31 of them last season and we've bested 31 of them or whatever it is this season thus far. And they're thinking, you know, there's 90-odd teams in the leagues in England and we were the second best by a frigging point. They're not thinking like us. They're thinking we're one of the best sides in world football and we'll just have to go out there and prove it next season.
There was so Steve Orr, what you were mentioning, he was a bit down in the pub afterwards on Sunday, and his analogy that he kept going back to, and apologies, Steve, I'm not trying to dig it out here, it's because it's a good one. He's somewhat big. You go up against a world-class boxer and you throw your best punch and you don't knock him out. And I think, I get that, but I think of it more along the lines of, imagine going into a ring with a fucking juggernaut, going against the best of the best, the guy who's been there and done it, has got the silverware and the belts and all that to show it, and like a year earlier you were nowhere near being in their class, nowhere near good enough to get in the ring with them, and then you got in the ring and you took it to points, you wouldn't be devastated, you'd be thinking, I'll beat them in the rematch. I'll come back and I'll do them again. And I think that's my hope. And I think that's what we're seeing now is that track record of this Liverpool side not falling to bits in the face of disappointment, of dusting themselves down. Yeah, going to go. You were 25 points or whatever behind this team last season. You ran it here and all it was going to take was one, you know, Vincent Kompany just hitting the bar, or 11 millimetres, you know, in the Etihad or whatever it is. And all these little moments that can work one way or the other, but the fact is, they can work one way or the other. It's you know, it's the multiverse. You know, it's everyone will be disappointed because they have worked the bollocks off and not been able to have the rewards for it. Will be disappointed, but that's what he'll just have. That's what he'll be giving them. You'll go and look at how far you've come, and you're not even there yet.
I think it speaks volumes that we're nearly that. Like, we're not really hearing. Look, just because I'm consistent here. We're not really hearing any whispers of anybody wanting to go. Mm-hmm. I think we, like there's been a bit about Mane, hasn't there? But that's all gone quiet. I think everybody clear. It's such a close, tight-knit group, and they're all wanting to die for each other on the pitch. Mm-hmm. I think the example of that was Barcelona. You know, you see Jordan Henderson collapse at the end because he's picked up a knee injury in the first half, but he knows that, you know, there's 10 other people on that pitch that he needs to work hard for, and there's 54,000 people in the ground as well. So, for me, that it speaks volumes that their mentality is we just keep going until the end, and then if that doesn't work, then we'll just start again and go again next season.
I think look at it as well, what helps, because I think you're dead right. You know, this is going to be something. I'm sure there'll be links. The newspapers will make some bullshit up, won't they, Chris? Because they always do. But I think having seen Barcelona in the flesh, having seen PSG in the flesh, Bayern Munich in the flesh, and to a slightly less extent, Real, they'll be looking at it and be like, Coutinho's the prime example of this. Even if the, you know, an offer does come in, they've got Phil there, and he, you know, he's hated and hounded at Barca. He's the second most expensive player at the time, like in the history of footy, and he's not good enough to get in that team. And even though he's not being used the right way. And they're looking at going, I'm here, I'm adored, I'm challenging for all of the same silverware, and it's having a better chance as well. It's going to be a lot harder to turn Liverpool players' heads this summer than it's probably ever been.
Yeah, I said it, you know, the other day. We're a destination club now. That's what we are. We're not a stepping stone anymore. You can achieve your dreams at Liverpool Football Club as a player. You can be adored, like you've just mentioned there. Why go to Real Madrid? Where did they get to in the Champions League? You know what I mean? And, you know, they've fallen off a cliff at the moment. Now, they'll get back. Don't get me wrong, the Real Madrid. But Barcelona, you know, We've been to two finals. They haven't been to any in the last 3 years.
I'm sure they'll be back. You know, it's worth remembering. Real Madrid never really go far, do you? They're not relegated. They don't fall off a cliff the way that Liverpool have fallen off a cliff. Or you could argue Man United. They never had the bad seasons that bad. But you know, yes, they've got Zidane. Yes, they'll be doing a rebuild. There's someone they'll throw money at it. They did that in the past after the last Galacticos era, the Ronaldo, the Van Nistelrooy, you know, all that kind of the Zidane. They went through a spell of thinking they were doing that. In buying Ian Robin and Wesley Snyder and you know and all these kind of lads and they would
well look at,
no
look,
guarantee
look at
that it, right?
Look at Manchester United now and how far away do you think players around Europe are thinking from Manchester United genuinely challenging for titles, be it the Champions League and the Premier League 4 or 5 years maybe something like that? How far away are Real? Mane goes there next season. Are they winning the league? It doesn't look like it to me. Look like they're getting that far in the Champions League. So. Why would you go?
Yeah.
And then how far away are Real from winning that league? 2-3 years maybe? And if they recruit well?
And particularly, and it's the Champions League thing at that point as well. Like, you mean, you're in with a chance of winning your domestic league, but are you going to win the
Have they won a frigging trophy since Ronaldo left?
brilliant, guys. Thank you very much for that. That's been amazing. The podcast is going to take a little break. We'll be back in the build-up to the Champions League final. If you need more in the meantime, get over to redmentv.com. We've got the bonus Q&A where we answer some of your questions, including knob for a nose or nose for a knob. Yeah. Yes. Get signed up. It's free for the first month, so we're going to have all of your Champions League final build up there. You can access completely for nothing. Get over, sign up, and we shall see you there. We've got hopefully got some really cool guests lined up, so yeah, I can't give away too much at the moment because I don't want to put too much pressure on Ross and his booking skills, but we'll see in due course. But yeah, anyway, thank you very much for watching and for listening to the podcast this season. That is us for the Premier League. One more big game to go this season and hopefully a little bit of glory as well. More on.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.